Hello, Steve here, and welcome to Real Health. Real Health. Oh, yes. Today, today I'll do a quick discussion, quick note, among other tangents, which are unintended, but, it's coming from my heart. I want to get some of this real health out there, and so it's about let's touch on our children's nutrition today. I was one of the rarer obese children of my day. Like, I'm nearly half century in vintage, and back in my day, there was only one or two, overweight / obese children, probably in the whole school. Sometimes they're in the one class. I was one of those. Many would be pointing the finger at my parents. In some ways, they were perhaps to blame. But they made efforts. I must say they made efforts to protect me from being overweight and obese, and parents do have a job in providing health to their kids to be attractive as an adult, to be healthy as an adult. Parents do have a job to make their children acceptable, attractive to the opposite sex as an adult. And if you're obese as a young person at the moment, or if you've got teenagers that are obese, you're sort of losing the fight. And there's many more parents that are losing the fight in keeping their young ones, their children, at a healthy weight / even healthy. We know the many anecdotes and observations of even chronic disease escalating in our children. I was on the anti-vax bandwagon there for a while. I'm still anti-vax, but not in the way that the anti-vax movement is against vaccine. I'm on the side that vaccines are actually a benign intrusion into our health. I don't think they do anything, versus the idea that they do everything. They wreck our health. I'm also downplaying concepts of, say, pollution in our health and toxicities, albeit toxicities and pollution do have adverse outcomes for our health, but not as much as we're sort of indicating at the moment. The real granddaddy, the real elephant in the room, is nutrient deficiencies. So that's why I'm here. That's all I'm going to mention on vaccines and the autism pandemic, epidemic. Yeah, epidemic more likely, more accurately, rather. Possibly 1 in 30 children in the West are autistic, or diagnosed at least autistic at the moment. Many which don't acknowledge autism being a epidemic, or you know, an increase in cases is, you know, many would say that that we're diagnosing more effectively. Yeah, that may be a part of it too. Also, some parents are incentivized, are driven to have autistic children, because guess what? Some, you know, especially single mothers get more payments, more government subsidies, more social security if their child has a chronic health issue. Yeah, you know, that's a risk in saying that in itself, but you know, we can't avoid truth, just like we can't avoid real health. Okay, so and don't get me wrong, like autism spokespeople that you know, would like to get to the bottom of the issue, you know, the correlation of you know, 70 plus vaccines in our childhood vaccine schedule, correlation with the increased incidence of autism, correlation may not be causation. What if there's an even better correlation? Lack of nutrients or nutrient deficiencies and autism as well. Okay, so I like to introduce that as a concept. But that's just the autism subject, I guess. How about the obesity in our children? Parents aren't doing a good job. Well, guess what? Parents aren't doing a good job, but many parents aren't doing a good job because they're filled with mainstream health concepts which are wrong. You know, feed your child better stuff. Get your child exercising. Children are exercising all the time. I was an obese young lad. I was engaged in team sports and I played all day long, and guess what? I was obese as. I was a pretty fat kid. And my parents made efforts, I must say, but they weren't successful because, hey, there was issues with nutrient uptake. And it's quite possible that being at a propensity to be obese all my life, I was actually not obese for at least two decades of my life due to restriction and exercise, like even more restriction, even more exercise. I was a triathlete, for God's sake. I've been to world champs and I've won national medals and that sort of thing. And that was my pursuit to increase my sexual market value. Yeah, I wanted to get laid as a young lad, so I took up triathlon and lost weight, and I got laid by a better sexual market value woman than I would have probably had access to as an obese lad. So, yes, chronically unwell children and obese children are deficient in essential micronutrients. I've mentioned the obesity correlation with deficiency in chromium, vanadium, and zinc. Don't go out to your pharmacy and get chromium, vanadium, and zinc and feed it to your child, because it probably won't work. Just like with adults that I'm advocating, we need to supplement, because the micronutrient availability in our food supply at the moment is not dependable, especially minerals. They occur in veins around the earth. You know, a carrot in China, in a particular field in China, may have, you know, 17 minerals, and a carrot grown in Wisconsin in the US, you know, for example, might have you know, six nutrients in it, six minerals in it. So, just like gold is found here and there, and bauxite and iron is found there and over here across the globe, same sort of thing is the case with minerals in the soil. So it's dumb luck if you are getting your essential minerals in your diet, because you might be getting rice from Pakistan 1 week, and then 3 months later your rice is from Bangladesh or China or in Australia. I'm not sure if they grow rice in Australia, so it's mainly wheat, but anyway, you know what I'm trying to get at. So we need to take matters into our own hands in dependable micronutrient uptake daily, and that means supplementing, and that's what I'm trying to advocate here, is to supplement with the essential micronutrients that we need. And we need 60 plus minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and at least two essential fatty acids, the omega 3 and omega 6, and they come in different components. Go into omega 3 and omega 6 as well. There's ratios, the ratio should be 1:1 with omega 3 and omega 6. And yes, omega 6 is available everywhere in the Western diet, but the issue is that omega 6 ratio versus omega 3 is 17:1 apparently in the West. It needs to be 1:1 for optimum health. So that's a real big skew. So we need to take matters into our own hands, because the mainstream healthcare model, the healthcare model that has sway, that does a great job in poo-pooing other health models, the allopathic medical model since the early 20th century. Some listeners may be aware of the Rockefeller Foundation backing the allopathic medical model back in the early 20th century, which ushered in the Flexner report, that's it, around the time that the Fed was formed, around 2013, they started funding allopathic medical schools versus the naturopathic schools, the chiropractic schools, all the other schools that were around at that time. The other healthcare models failed due to lack of funding, where the allopathic medical model, the current mainstream medical model, was elevated due to an amazing amount of funding especially from the Rockefeller Foundation, and that's why we have the mainstream medical model the way we know it at the moment. And it didn't, the mainstream medical model, the allopathic medical model, did not develop due to its own advancements or benefits. It got elevated by force, by extra funding. And that's the situation we find ourselves in. I've said it before that, the allopathic healthcare model does have its place in emergency care, in the emergency room, to keep you alive after getting hit by a bus or getting shot or getting a spear in your back. Or infections, antibiotics, that sort of thing. Cortisone. Those sort of treatments, but apart from emergency surgeries and those that I've just mentioned, the mainstream medical model doesn't have a clue about chronic health. And that's where naturopaths have a bit more clue. Naturopathy isn't very united in its approaches, but there is a certain faction of naturopaths which are aware of micronutrients and herbs and all that sort of thing, which are making have got better outcomes with their clients. And the approaches which advocate avoiding gluten have got better efficacy. And the ones that are advocating avoiding gluten, bottled oil, sugar, and nitrates and nitrites have got the best efficacy at the moment. And if you incorporate that, avoiding those bad foods that I just mentioned, those bad food classes with supplementing with the right way, the rightest way that we have available to us at the moment, which is the 90+ essential micronutrients, then our capacity, our propensity for good health and longevity has just been multiplied. Add a quarter to a half century of good health to your life. Also by increasing your life expectancy by at least a couple of decades. I know myself, I have a conviction that my life expectancy has been increased by a few decades at least with the approach that I'm taking. So, back to the kids. Kids are little humans, okay? People get funny about giving supplements to kids, saying that we need to give them fruit and vegetables and lean meats and not much dairy and that sort of thing for optimum health, and you shouldn't be giving supplements to kids because it can harm the kids, and it's toxic and this and that. Oh, what a crock of shit. It's just like, imagine saying, don't give too much, kale, or don't give too much carrot to this child because it's got too much selenium in it, or whatever. Like, really? Don't give too many oranges to kids because it'll. It gives too much vitamin C to the child. That would seem a bit odd. So, kids need supplements too. I've got my own conviction that obese children need supplements as well to avoid the obesity and the chronic health issues that they're encountering. And according to body weight, kids need to take the supplement regime that I'm on as well, because they're just little humans as well. Okay, they just need a lower dose, but also as an adult, you need a particular dose at 100 pounds, and you need to double it at 200 pounds. And I had to triple it at my 300 pounds. Well, I nearly quadrupled it at my 380 pounds where I started. That's that story. I couldn't afford, 3.5 or 4 times dose of the nutrients that I'm on, because each month, even as a 100-pound person, would be costing you about $150. So imagine paying around $600 a month. I couldn't afford that. So I was getting by on 2.5 dose, 2.5. 350 bucks was my starting budget, and my budget at the moment is it's still around the same. So I cheated a bit, but it still worked, because I was getting some nutrients on board, and because I'm under 50 and still absorbing quite a bit, that's why it's working. But if you're 60, 70 and you're, you know, a bit obese and got health issues, that's the caveat. It's going to take a lot longer for my particular advocacy of the regime that I'm on with the diet and the supplementing. It's going to take a while to work because you've spent, you know, 6+ decades eating gluten, and it's really stuffed up your ability to absorb micronutrients. Decade after decade, it reduces the amount of that your villi can absorb micronutrients. You could reach the age of 65 and, you know, your absorption of micronutrients has dropped to, you know, 5%, 8%, and that's why you're growing older faster and greyer faster, wrinklier faster, and getting chronic health issues and getting 6 medications. Then you reach age 72 and you've got 12 medications to take, and that's your roadmap if you aren't getting enough micronutrient absorption, and which means avoiding the bad food that I advocate. Which is part of the best regime that we know of at the moment. So avoid the bad foods that I've mentioned and supplement. That's the two elephants in the room. Equal size elephants, one Indian elephant, one African elephant. African elephant is larger. Perhaps nutrients is the African elephant. But they're both elephants, and we need to increase absorption by avoiding the foods that I've mentioned, those four classes of foods, and supplementing. And yes, it costs a bit because of the structure of what the market is paying, what the elasticity of demand is for a particular in the health industry. That's what the market dictates. That's how much people are willing to pay, and that's how much they'll charge. And I'm paying that much hand over fist. It's taken priority, over other essential, other luxuries in my life. And this is the nutrients that I'm buying each month are the essentials. It's just like buying food, and I'm spending much less on food, that's for sure. I would have been spending up to $200 on food, including takeout, back in yesteryear, 8+ months ago. At the moment, that's probably shrunken to 70, 80 bucks a week. So what I'm needing to spend on nutrients, I'm taking off the top of the food expenditure, including eating out, addressing my pica of going to McDonald's and fish and chip shops and that sort of thing. So that's gone at least, and that's part of the reason why I'm a lean, mean, fine machine at the moment. And my conviction is that I'll be a lean, mean fighting machine forever, as long as I keep on taking the 90 plus essential micronutrients that we require daily and for life. And yes, it's going to cost you at least $150-$200 a month for the rest of your life, but you're going to be a lean, mean fighting machine like me, and also you're going to be living decades longer and adding quarter century to a half century of more healthy years as well. And if you start with your children, a bit funny. I know people will be funny about giving supplements to children, like they should be eating right, but no. What eating right is actually wrong, what the mainstream advocates. Even children need to be avoiding gluten. Avoiding them eating gluten. And you know, even children are suffering from pica. I certainly had pica gravitating to junk food as a child and secretly eating junk food, trying to avoid the eyes of my parents because I had pica, and most children have pica. All children have pica, probably, because does a child love candy? Does a child love junk food? Is a frog's ass watertight? Well, yeah, of course they love junk food because they all got pica because they're all malnourished. They're all deficient in micronutrients. As parents, we don't know. We don't know. But I'm trying to let everyone know our kids are suffering cravings just like we are. And our kids are going to become unwell earlier because they're deficient in micronutrients earlier, because our food supply is more deficient than when we were young children as well, okay? So, please consider what I'm trying to advocate here. Yes, I'm in one of those situations of, being divorced, and I've got an 11-year-old child, and I'm trying to advocate to her mother, look, this is the go. You know, this is how you can help yourself and, our child. She's doing a good job in the conventional wisdom, diet and exercise. My child sort of complains sometimes, I was hungry and I was denied food. That's, I don't like hearing that. I'm trying my best even in my own circle. I've been on a big spiel about what I'm trying to advocate here with my ex-wife, and she was listening, but I don't think she's taken the bait. But 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, like if I'm outstripping her in weight control and looking great, she'll probably get on board, and by that time I'll try to advocate for my adult child, hey, you need to do this to be healthy and looking good. Some parents do advocate giving supplements to children, and they give those little gummy bears, those little chewables to their children blindly, like they don't really need know how much nutrients children need, so they just as a virtue signal, take this, it's good for you, and it's sweet, the kid will take it, or most kids, I guess. Some kids will just go, just being defiant, But there are ways to get the minerals that the kids need. Put some minerals into their smoothies, or just into their milk or juice or whatever you give them. Juice, I would avoid giving juice to kids anymore. It's like giving them spoonfuls of sugar. I would advocate not giving juice, even freshly squeezed juice, to your children. Yeah, sorry, I need to advocate that. It's grandparents giving apple juice to kids, that's toxic. It's ruining your kid's health. I gave my child apple juice. I was dumb. As in, I was unaware. Parents don't know. They're just following the people in the lab coats and the credible journal articles and the talking heads with credentials on TV. They don't know. People, physicians you know, bleeding their patients 150 years ago. The doctor says, you know, bleeding out my grandma, that's what needs to be done, and then killing them. People just said, yeah, fine, you can do that because they're doctors. Doesn't mean they're right. We don't bleed people anymore. We don't drill holes in people's skulls to let the evil spirits out anymore. We don't even in more recent decades, like, we don't do lobotomies on people anymore to try and fix their schizophrenia or, you know, whatever's going on there. Maybe we should nourish our mentally ill people. That'll go a long way in treating their torture. Mental illness, that may be another subject to touch on down the track. So, yes, kids are humans as well, and we need to make sure that they're nourished. And the way we nourish them, based on the mainstream health thoughts at the moment, is wrong as well. And if they're eating gluten, if they're eating wheat, barley, rye and oats, yes, even oats has gluten in it, it's called gliadin. We are building up an injury to their absorbing villi in their small intestine. And after 20 years, we're going to reduce their absorption from 90-95% back down to 75-80% in each preceding decade until they reach their 50s, when they start going grey. They're absorbing 20-25%, and they're growing older faster, and it's in our genes. I started going grey at 40. You know, if my child goes grey at 45-50, that's better, right? Well, they're just probably getting more copper than you. If your child is going greyer earlier than you, that means they're not absorbing as much copper. And that's why they're going greyer earlier. If it's happening at the same time, it's not genetic. The only thing that's genetic in going grey is your ability to absorb micronutrients. And in this case, with greying hair is copper absorption. I'm quite fortunate. I'm not grey. I haven't got any grey hairs yet. And hopefully I've staved off that for, you know, possibly decades, because I'm starting to absorb the essential micronutrients that we require, and hopefully copper is part of that, and I won't be grey for a lot longer. I had a beard couple of years back, and I was starting to get some grey on my beard, but certainly not on my head. I guess a good test will be if I grow a beard now to see if there's greys happening in my beard. But I'm not going to do that, because I'm not going to gravitate to, I'm not that lazy anymore. So, yeah. So please consider what I'm trying to advocate with the nutrition, the absorption of micronutrients, and avoiding the bad foods together with your kids. And if this is resonating, please reach out on one of the portals which is on the show notes, and I'll be helping out. If I get inundated, well, yeah, there will be a lag, I guess, but I'm certainly not inundated at the moment. Certainly not. Got a few bites. But, they're only bites, you know. They're only people saying, oh, I'm going to do my own research. And I'm just thinking, all right, you might be doomed if you do your own research on Google. But check out my walking the talk, talking the walk in a couple of years, and, you know, see if I'm still going strong. You know, for those possible naysayers out there. One family member which is fully on my regime, and she's benefiting out of sight. Lost around 22 kilos, 45 or 6 pounds. looking great, skin issues cleared up, bowel issues resolved. Did I say skin? Yeah, skin looking great. So I've got my little circle happening, and I'm trying to get it out there to the wide world as well. If it works, it works. If not, at least it's out there. At least I won't kick myself that I didn't try and help the human race at all. I like to think of myself as the evangelist of this particular concept of avoiding those four food classes and taking the essential micronutrients that we require through supplementing, which is required these days because the micronutrients aren't dependable in our food supply these days. Eating well is not possible anymore. But dumb luck it is, only. But you're not going to be able to test each food sample that you eat. It's cost-wise and time-wise, it's ridiculous. The people that are living to 100 plus, and the blue zones out there with high rates of centenarians, they've got longer life expectancies due to better supply of minerals in their soils, eating food grown locally, and most of those blue zones with high, with greater life expectancies are got a better amount of mineral supply in their soils, and that analysis has been done. But there's other research saying that all these blue zones are all pretty much in third world countries. They got no roads, no healthcare, even lack of water. But they're living to 100. And there's been research that's trying to grasping at conclusions, and a lot of them conclude that they're active and they're spiritual and they got families around them and that sort of thing. They may be very positive. Parameters in living longer, but guess what? Also, they got a lot more nutrients in their local growing soils. It's dumb luck that they're living to 100 plus. There's instances, of people living to 160, and it's not acknowledged at the moment because there's a belief that people take on their grandparents' identities and that sort of thing. Yeah. It's a virtue to be thought of as living a long time, especially with that example of the Huns. There is only one blue zone. I've mentioned this before too, but for one time listeners, there's only one blue zone in the Western world, and it's a religious community, and they're on the particular nutrients that I'm on. They're on the regime that I'm on, and. I know that there would be full compliance, but even without full compliance, they got average life expectancy in their 90s. Seventh-day Adventists, I believe, this community is. So, good on them. So, I'll start wrapping it up now. I hope some of these concepts are resonating. There'll be a lot of little repetitions here and there, which is probably required, especially for one-time listeners. I need to chuck them out from time to time just to keep the concept going. But there'll be new content all the time, and I encourage that you listen some more, but even more so encourage you to take on the regime that I'm advocating. And if you want to know the specifics, please reach out. So, I'll wrap it up there. As a teaser, I'll probably, in the next episode, I'll mention fertility, sexual performance, those sort of ideas in the next episode. How about that? Until the next time, thanks for listening, if there are any listeners, and bye for now.